Hello and welcome to PCB Chat, where we talk with experts across the printed circuit design, manufacturing, and electronics supply chain. I'm Mike Buteau, Editor-in-Chief of PCD&F and Circuits Assembly. Today's podcast is sponsored by PCB West, the leading conference and exhibition for the printed circuit design and manufacturing industry. My guest today is Dr. Christopher Tang. Professor Tang is a UCLA Distinguished Professor and the holder of the Edward W. Carter Chair in Business Administration. He is also editor of Manufacturing and Service Operations Management, the leading journal for the operations management research community. Chris's research spans across different areas, including global supply chain management, retail operations, and social business operations. He has co-authored one book and co-edited four more. He has published over 100 academic articles in research journals and management articles in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, and The Guardian. He has served on editorial boards for over 15 international journals and research boards for startup companies. Chris is not just an esteemed academic. He spent a combined 13 years at HP and IBM, working in supply chain management and specializing in lean and just-in-time processes. Chris, thank you for joining us on PCB Chat today.
Thank you.
The electronics supply chain is centered in Southeast Asia and primarily in China at this point. So diving right into the big hairy question, what's your take on whether that will change? And if so, in what direction geographically will it go?
Michael, this is a very good question and very timely. In terms of the electronic supply chain, the reasons why it's all concentrated in China for the last decade or so, primarily because when China was doing the economic reform, the cheap labor costs has attracted a lot of Western company to do the assembly operations in China. Once they started the assembly operations, then gradually they said they will also do the components. And then that's why the electronics components also made in China. So gradually the entire supply chain is actually completely done in China. Now, during the current crisis, the trade war between the United States and China, and also the COVID-19, maybe is the last straw that broke the camel's back. So now many companies are rethinking about how supply chain should be redesigned or reconsidered. So gradually, you can see that some companies such as Apple, now they're making some AirPods in Vietnam, and many companies, they try to think about China plus one strategy. So that means that you still continue to do some of the work in China, but you also want to diversify your geographic locations just in case.
So in your mind, the COVID pandemic is not an actual driver, but it's accelerating the movement that was already taking place.
Absolutely. The trigger was really due to the shortage of PPEs, and then also in terms of the disputes in terms of how all these PPEs are allocated, how the shipments from China. So I think that U.S. government and the U.S. public begin to realize that maybe we're too dependent on one country. Then in case of instability in China, in case of COVID-19, in case of disruption on the air cargo or sea cargo, then U.S. is quite vulnerable to this kind of disruptions. So therefore, it is time to rethink.
So I'm glad that you brought up some of the disruptions, because of course, that's something that has been going on, particular to the electronic supply chain, for some time, be it the typhoons in the Philippines, the earthquakes in Taiwan and Japan, flooding in Thailand. All of these natural disasters have caused disruptions in the supply chain over the past decade or so. I've been in the industry long enough, and I think, you know, your time going back to your IBM and HP days, when so much of the raw materials for semiconductor packaging were concentrated in Japan, and Sumitomo, which was a major supplier of the ECN resin for semiconductor packaging, had decided that they were going to shut down one of their factories and get out of that supply business. And I think Sumitomo at the time had 60% of the worldwide supply of ECN. And so Now, all of a sudden, you know, the whole semiconductor industry could have been brought to its knees because a majority supplier said, hey, look, we can't make money making this material, even though we've got the monopoly practically on it. So there's always potential for disruptions. The question becomes, is a distended supply chain, you know, one in which there's regional centers of raw materials, manufacturing, distribution, and demand, a, quote, stronger one in terms of its ability to respond to fast-changing conditions? And is that what the electronics industry, which is so cost-driven, should aspire to?
Very good question. I think there's many electronic companies that have been focusing on costs. That's why it was all driven to source from China. Now they are reconsidering because after the disruptions, they need to take risk management into consideration. Because in the case of crisis, the cost is no longer the key driver. You need business continuity. You need a resilient supply chain so that you get your business can stay afloat during the crisis. So that is the trigger that many companies are reconsidering where they should actually just source from one country, China.
So you have background in lean processing and just in time. How does that experience inform what you're seeing now? Do you think that industry will move away from very lean inventories and that type of stocking process in order to give themselves more of a buffer in case of future disruptions?
Michael, this is a very good question. I actually study just-in-time inventory in the 80s. So let's go back in time a little bit. In the 80s, we were competing with Japan. And then we learned that the Japanese production inventory system is superior. We learned it from the Toyota production system, the lean, the just-in-time, the Kanban system, and all this. That was a superior production system. And yet, later on, we discover that just-in-time, it will only work under certain business or natural environment. This includes stability in the supply, including materials, components, raw materials, also in terms of stable demand and also stable workforce. But now we have encountered situations that the supply could be disrupted because of logistics, because of supply, and also the demand is also disrupted during the crisis. When you have this kind of disruptions, this kind of sudden change in the supply and demand, the just-in-time system and just-in-time inventory just won't work. So therefore, we learn from the PPE shortages, we need to have some kind of inventory put in place to buy time and also to rethink how the global supply chain is designed such that we can have a cost efficiency and also a responsive supply chain in case of emergency.
You've had the opportunity over the course of your career to observe how the conglomerate style, all-in-one place type of operation has given way to a very distended outsourcing type of environment where there are many, many, many levels to the chain. Do you think that given what's happened lately, we will see a sort of a return to the all-in-one OEM style of manufacturing that was so common back in the 80s and early 90s?
I think that this is a wake-up call this time. And I think that you're right. In terms of sole sourcing or focusing on China in particular, because of the economy scale, because for many manufacturing sector, the scale matters because you can have the discount, you can have many benefits, and then you can give you the efficiency, the cost efficiency. But when you have a disruption, you have to have a portfolio, just like the way we trade stocks. You don't want to just invest in one stock. You need multiple stocks just in case. So I think that now the companies need to rethink about a combination, maybe a portfolio of supply chain. So just in case if one of them encounter major problems, then the other one can actually pick up the slack.
In the course of your research, have you noticed any differences geographically in the way that companies are approaching their supply chains? In other words, is the West looking at this problem and taking measures to tackle it in a different way than companies in Southeast Asia or Japan or even Europe?
Very good question. I did consider this question over the last decade. Yet there's a shift in terms of sourcing from China directly, because now there is a trade war going on, and also the tariffs. There's a major difference, because if the 25% tariffs that US is imposing on the imports, then the cost of the importing would maybe outweigh of the cost savings, the labor cost savings making from China. So that's why you can see there is a gradual shift from China, sourcing from China, to sourcing from Southeast Asia. Countries such as Vietnam, because there is a free trade agreement between Vietnam and United States. So I think that company begin to see there are some benefits. For example, Malaysia and Thailand. In Thailand, actually they produce maybe at least close to more than 60% of the hard disks in the world for the computer industry. So because they also get some tax benefits as well. So now I think that as the rise of the Southeast Asia countries, and the labor cost is actually cheaper than China. So because of cheaper labor cost and also the free trade agreements or lower tariffs, so companies begin to see that actually it could be beneficial to shift it to Southeast Asia. That's all from the economic side. From the political side, the United States government currently is providing incentives and also encourage some of the electronics or computer companies to reshore back to the United States, maybe Mexico. So I think the most recent one is Intel. So I think that Intel is reconsidering to move some of the factories back to the United States. That includes the Apple. Apple have a partnership with Foxconn, which is a Taiwanese company. So now they have a Wisconsin factory.
Yeah, I just look at our industry and it's so cost driven. And I'm just not really certain whether once all of this pandemic crisis has settled down, whether we won't reflexively just go back to the lowest possible cost. And, you know, in some respects that benefits Mexico, Vietnam, some of these other nations that actually have lower total landed cost than China does at this point.
Oh, Michael, they will. They will. Absolutely. I fully agree. That's why in my video, I mentioned that the government need to provide incentives or some form of regulations. Then in terms of electronics, and I think that's to a certain extent, President Trump is trying to rebuild some manufacturing capabilities in the U.S. I think that is the right initiative, but he's clumsy the way he say things. But basically, that is actually there's a social obligations, because in the U.S., I've seen that this, a lot of Americans may not be equipped to go to college to do the white collar work. But a lot of blue-collar work can contribute tremendously. And we have neglected that for decades. So I think it's time for a caring government to think about it, because corporations will not care about the public, the blue-collar workers.
Now, you recently authored a blog item with the provocative headline, "All models are wrong, but I hope some are useful amid the COVID-19 pandemic." You were referencing a paper under review on the risks of social gatherings. The industrial workplace may or may not be social, of course, but it certainly qualifies as a gathering. So from an operations management perspective, what should we be thinking about as we ramp our factories back to full force?
That's an excellent question. In case of workplace safety, social distancing, now I think companies need to redesign how manufacturing factory floors should be designed. So, for example, I think right now Ferrari in Italy, so they are going to introduce more advanced robotics. So that's the workers, they don't need to be working in close proximity, so they can space them out. So maybe in between workers, they can replace a traditional manual operations with the robotics. So in the case, they will do the social distancing. And then, of course, the facial mask, in terms of hand sanitizer, all these precautions need to put in place.
Chris, best guess, 5 years from now, supply chains will look very different from what they are today, somewhat different from what they are today, mildly different, or almost no change from how they look today?
Well, I think in this case, in terms of change in supply chain structure, I and being see that there would be a major change in supply chain in many ways. First, in terms of supply chain redesign, supply chain visibility. During the COVID crisis, they discovered close to 60% of the companies, they don't even know the identity of their suppliers beyond tier one. They only know the immediate suppliers. After that, many companies have no clue where they're located, who they are they affected or not. Now, during this disruption, they begin to see that they can no longer operate supply chain or this kind of upstream suppliers as a commodity, because even the upstream suppliers may be working on low-value components. In case of disruption, this will disrupt the entire supply chain operations. So therefore, they need the supply chain visibility. Second, because as we mentioned earlier, that it's too risky to put all your eggs in one basket in China. So now many companies, they are rethinking maybe they need to diversify and they may want to move some of the factories to Southeast Asia and also reshore some of the operations. So that is the second one. Third one is in terms of within the factories and how the things are done. As I mentioned before, due to safety measures, they may need to introduce more advanced robotics. Last one, but not least, they may need to explore the usage of different Industry 4.0 technology for manufacturing, such as 3D printing. 3D printing used to be very expensive, but now the cost is coming down rapidly. And also in the current crisis, people realize that they can use 3D printing to print masks, to print the protective shield for the healthcare workers. So I think the use of 3D printing for more customized products would become more popular. And last, in terms of shipping maybe lightweight components or materials, they can also use drone, because now a lot of factories in China, actually they can use drone to transfer some of the component from one station to the next station.
Thank you, Chris. My guest today has been Christopher Tang, professor at UCLA. He can be seen in a webinar on YouTube titled 2020, A Rethink on the Global Supply Chain in the Midst of the COVID-19 Pandemic. And the journal that Chris edits and his blog can be accessed at pubsonline.informs.org/journal/MSOM. Chris, you do some work for individual companies as well, correct?
Yes, I do. In particular, during this crisis, to help company to rethink how they structure the supply chain and also how they also take the tariffs and imports, land costs and risk into consideration.
And for folks who want to get in touch with you directly, how would you recommend they do that?
They can email me at chris.tang@anderson.ucla.edu.
That brings us to a close to today's episode. I want to thank my guest, Professor Christopher Tang. And I want to remind listeners, today's podcast is sponsored by PCB West, the leading conference and exhibition for the printed circuit design and manufacturing industry, coming this September to the Santa Clara Convention Center. Visit the website at pcbwest.com for information. For PCB Chat, this is Mike Buto. Have a nice day.